Hey everyone, this is Scott from DVC-Rental.com. As you know, we're your go-to place for all Disney travel, and if you've ever thought of taking a beach holiday, make sure you also look into us as we have Disney's Vero Beach, which is on the Atlantic down in Florida, or we also have Disney's Hilton Head Resort in South Carolina. Again, that's DVC-Rental.com.
Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a special guest today. So I want to do a little bit of an introduction of who he is, but I really want to tell you kind of why he's here today and what drew me to him. So you know from being friends of mine and listening to the show that we are a positive, family-friendly show, and I'd like to think that birds of a feather flock together. So in our Instagram feed, which is not nearly as established as this gentleman's, I find his post to be hysterical and educational. And honestly, they are like the high spots of any time I'm scrolling through Instagram, as I always want to go and pay attention and listen. But anyways, let me just read a little bit about his business and about his personality from his page here. These are the buzzwords that he would use to describe himself. And I think you'd say, that's amazing. So we've got engaging, entertaining, inclusive, and funny. All right. So I want to introduce to you a person 30 years with the Disney company. His name is Mark Daniel. Mark, how are you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much, Chris, for having me on WDW.
Are you kidding me? So I want to go and do a little bit of an introduction. Before we do, yeah. I want to give you credit. Your Instagram feed is just on point. If it's not cracking me up, I'm like, I did not know that. You teach me something every day, and then you crack me up every day. So thank you for putting that good stuff out there.
Well, you know what? You're welcome. And that makes me so happy to hear you say that, because that's exactly what I want with any of my social media. I really want people to, while they're scrolling and just, you know, looking through their feed, there's so many different things, but I want you to be able to say, when I see LOL from Mark Daniel, I'm either going to learn something fun or I'm going to laugh and continue on with my day. So that means a lot that you have those emotions, because definitely I want you to feel good and I want you to have some happiness throughout your day.
Well, we're going to get into the introduction in a second, but you know what caught my eye? I'm going to be honest with you. You have a character that you put out there. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, he's doing something with the Lion King here. And then I like scrolled and saw the comments. It's Dr. Tambourine.
Yeah.
It's the Bush Doctor. Mm-hmm. And like, you give like a parable and like a message in each one of them. And you're like, you know what? That's really good. That's good stuff. So that's what caught my eye first. So kudos to you. How did you come up with that idea to do that? What was the inspiration with that?
You know, a lot of the inspiration, especially the characters I play, come from my family. So Dr. Tambourine is his name. And his father is Cyrene. So he's been passed the torch. And a lot of the parables are kind of like what my dad used to say growing up. And he would always tell me these little things that I would always take for granted when I was a kid. But now that I'm older, I kind of see what he's talking about. So I created this character based on like the witch doctors of African culture, which a lot of times were women that would keep the stories alive, that would know all the secret medicines. And so that was my inspiration. And it's like, I wanted to do something fun. So it's parables within a minute. So he kind of grew up on TikTok and Instagram. So the idea is, as you're scrolling again, you're going to get on Mondays a little gem of wisdom that you can implement somewhere in your life. And his characteristics are very much from my dad. You know, I like to make the faces, and he has a staff that he slams on the ground. So
Yeah. It's
almost like your own personal shaman. Like, you know, he just pops out of the microwave and gives you some words of wisdom, and he goes back in. You never know where he'll pop up. So that's the inspiration, and that's how I like to think about him, as this little miniature shaman on Mondays that pops out of wherever you are to give you some little worldly advice and then disappear again.
I love it. You know, and it makes me smile whenever I see it. And not only that, we're going to, again, I want to introduce you, but the fun, the nerd fact of the day, sometimes on Mondays, you're like completely cool. And it definitely makes me happy to read those. So, but anyways, let me just talk. Can I brag about you for a while, Mark? Is that okay?
You know, I'm not going to stop you.
Right? Is it okay if I brag for you for a while?
Sure. I'd love it.
So here's what you don't get to see if you're listening right now, is you don't get to see Mark's 30-year award from the Disney company. I got to see it. So Mark showed it to me. He's been an employee for 30 years. So this is, I mean, he's been an actor for 25 plus years. He's an MC, he's a warm-up host, he's a stand-up comedian, he's a voiceover, you know artist. He's the warm-up host for the Disney Parks Holiday Celebration. So how about that? Is that not awesome? The Disney Parks blog, he's got the web series Inside Disney Parks, so you've probably seen him there.
Yeah,
I like to say, honestly, this is just my own off script, he's a positive force as an MC for your event. And like, so if you got a branded event and you need someone to actually get people like hyped for the event and lead the event, I've seen on your own page, you're fantastic at it. And I have a terrible voice. You have an amazing sounded voice. So your voice combined with your positive energy, it just does magic for things. You've been a voiceover artist for the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Studios. And you were a narrator for The Fight to Fly, which talks about the Tuskegee Airmen and the important role they played in the civil rights movement.
Yeah, that was a labor of love that I did a while back. And it was fascinating too. I knew about the Tuskegee Airmen, but to learn more about them, and I got to, the way this documentary, which was directed by Emmy Award-winning John Anderson, he is an Emmy-winning documentary director, and he connected the struggle after the Tuskegee Airmen returned to America. They returned to a segregated landscape, and here they were fighting for America, and they were some of the first people that started the civil rights movement to really get it on its feet and get it moving. So I was very proud to talk about that and share those stories. And I got to meet some of the, may they rest in peace, a few of the actual Tuskegee Airmen that flew overseas and were part of some of the battles.
That's phenomenal. Actually, I'm going to draw that into another point I wanted to make. You did a recent piece on Instagram about Isaac Singleton. And you know, you educated me, because it wasn't until I saw his picture from the Pirates of the Caribbean, I was like, I know that man. I know that man. As soon as I saw that picture, and I didn't realize that he was, you know, he was an actor for the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular and has been on Galaxy Quest and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you closed with an amazing line. And I love that line. Do you remember what you closed with on that one piece?
I do remember. You know, so what I did is as your listeners know, and if you don't know, I do fun Mark Daniel nerd facts for the day. And in February for Black History Month, a lot of my facts stem from Disney. So I wanted to point out African-Americans or just black people, because I'm not African-American, I'm from Trinidad. So black people in general that have done things at Disney. So my line that I close with is saying that African-American history is American history. And I've got a lot of feedback from that from all cultures, just saying, you know, I'm glad you say that, because it is the truth. You know, it's not a history that just African-Americans have. It is an American history that many different cultures have contributed to the success and growth of the American culture and this country. And so I just wanted to point that out and just say, you know, whatever history it is, whether it's Hispanic history or whatever history, or just, you know, as we say, every day is white America history, it all works together. And that's what makes this country great. So that's why I really wanted to end by saying African-American history at the end of the day is American history.
I loved it. It caught my ear as soon as I said it. And I almost did like a fist bump and it said, yeah, exactly. So let me jump ahead then, because I got a question here. I got about 8 questions, and I rarely have questions for my interview scripted. It's a lot of times it's just give and take as you're going along. But one of them actually is, I'm going to make my answer first and then I'll read the question. I know it seems out of sequence. And I would love it if right now the world and the people would just gain a little more empathy and understanding of each other. So my question to you is what change would you make or would you wish for people right now? And I want to parlay that back on your statement about African-American history and being American history. What change or what wish would you have for people right now?
I think understanding differences of opinion. I think right now we kind of have a situation where if you don't agree with me, if you're not with me, you're against me. And there is no middle ground. I think that's what's missing. I think I remember the days when there was a middle ground. I remember the days when you might not agree with me and you might have your own experience, but I also have my own experience, and we can bring both of those experiences together and find some common ground. I think we will always have differences, but I think we also will always have common ground. So if I could make a change, it would be those moments where the people that disagree with each other try to find common ground and kind of have empathy to look at it from a different point of view.
Nice. Well said. Well said. So let's go back to your Instagram feed for 1 second. You know what else made me crack up? So you're good at this. So you have a piece, and it might actually be from Dr. Tambourine. Mm-hmm. And it says, if you want to know the end, look at the, and then you cut away to like a Facebook reel. Oh my heavens, that cracked me up. I've seen it before too, where he just could not get the word beginning out of his mouth. He was just sputtering. So that's what's important. That I think is going to parlay into my next question. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about what started you off as a stand-up comedian. Is it just the pursuit of good, fun, positive humor, or how did you start as a comedian? Was it something passed down? Was it something that your dad gave you? Because your dad already seems like a real wise dude. Was he a crack up as well too?
He's a crack up, but you know the truth is my dad is actually the straight person in the house. He is the one. He makes his jokes, but my mom is crazy. Okay. But everyone tells me that I get my sense of humor from my grandmother, my great grandmother. By the time I remember her, she was blind, so I don't remember her much. I just remember her love. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people tell me, and my grandmother tells me, I get my funny, my comedy from my great grandmother. As far as when I ever wanted to be a stand up, I always wanted to make people laugh. So my grandmother on my father's side. So I got my comedy from my great grandmother on my mother's side. Now my grandmother on my father's side was also very funny, and she lived to be 104 years old. And throughout it all, she always talked about laughter, and I believe that positive laughter, and again, positive laughter, you know, you can laugh at somebody falling, that's not necessarily positive laughing at somebody getting hurt, which can be funny, but I feel positive laughter helps you live longer. So that's when I had my brand, which is called LOL for Life, which means laugh out loud for life, because I really believe that, especially through my grandmother. So after that, I just always wanted to share, make people happy, always be the clown. In high school, I was the class clown. And I always had a dream of being a stand-up comedian. I started off doing improv comedy, but I always had the dream to be a stand-up comedian. And then I just, one day, I said, I'm going to give it a shot. And I did it, and I loved it. It was the hardest job I ever loved.
And, went. I could imagine. How do you prepare for something like that? What is the mindset? Are you writing jokes in your free time? Are you just observing human nature? How do you even start with something like that? That just boggles my mind.
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of people ask, how do you start with it? And I think, one, you find the humor in things. Like, especially when I started doing working at Disney as an actor and working in improv, you constantly are trying to find the humor in everyday life. So that's the first thing, is to have a sense of humor is very important. And whether it's a quirky sense of humor or a dark sense of humor or whatever you have, you're looking for the quirkiness, which can be funny in life. So, yeah, you're constantly writing jokes. You're constantly thinking of, like, how can I turn this into a bit? You're experiencing in life. You try to write from that. Mark Twain had a great saying, which is comedy is tragedy plus time. So it is the truth. Like, I find that to be true. You take your life experiences, and after a little bit, they become funny. I went through a divorce myself. That was painful, but eventually, as I got further and further away from it, I started finding the funny in it and how that affected me. How did I go into the real world now as a new single person, but I was a husband before, and what are the changes that happened in me? So yeah, you're constantly writing, you're constantly tweaking, you're constantly looking for what's funny, and that's how you do it, man. And then you find a space, you crack jokes with your friends, you crack jokes at the parties, you know, until you get enough nerve to say, you know what, I think I can make jokes to strangers, because that's the challenge, is to be able to go in front of strangers. And what you're doing too as a comedian, you're being vulnerable. You know, you are talking about, a lot of times, if you're talking about a real situation, you're being vulnerable. And if you're not talking about a real situation, maybe you're a good writer and you make up a story and it's very funny, you're hoping that story is funny. So you actually rely on past emotional connections to the story you made up. So your emotions are real. So you're always very vulnerable as you're on stage in front of strangers.
You know, I was thinking that, boy, that's a really vulnerable position to put yourself in, because you have to kind of like feed off that response from, you know, your listeners and your audience right there. Yeah. And if it just hits and miss, boy, that must be a deflating moment. So you're hoping everything hits. I mean, you put yourself out there. That's tough. So
yeah, it is. And it's very telling too. I mean, you're, like you said, you point out it's a hit or miss. A lot of times, you know, from experience, you can miss. Like, you can miss and hit a grounder, we call it. You know, you can pull back from it, whether you acknowledge that you messed that joke up or you acknowledge that it's not funny. It takes a confidence as well. It takes a very, very big amount of confidence to hit that stage and be ready to go, you know. Mm-hmm. In my experience, I put it this way. You know, anybody can get attention for, like, a minute. You know, anybody can walk on the stage and be like, listen up, everybody, look at me. But after, as that minute ticks along, people will start making their judgments. They'll start looking at you and going, why are you on stage? Why should I listen to you? Do you deserve to be on stage? And okay, you have my attention and I like you, or I've made my decision whether I like you or not. And those things are decided within the first 5 minutes, to be honest with you. So, and this is 30 years of experience I'm talking about. This is nothing, you don't even focus on this when you first start. But you focus on the small parts of it. Some people have what they call a great stage presence. That's a big part of it. What you have to say is important. That's a part of it. Like you pointed out, your voice, how you inflect your voice, how you feel, how you move. All those things make up those moments as people judge you as you hit on that stage to say, okay, you've got my attention. Now deliver.
Good.
And that's the challenge, you know. How do you keep that?
Mark, were you a stand-up comedian before your Disney career, or was it after you started working for the Walt Disney Company?
It was after I started working for the Walt Disney Company. Okay. Like I said, while I was working for the Walt Disney Company, I started doing improv comedy at SAC Comedy Lab here in Florida, a very big improv comedy troupe. Wayne Brady came out of there here in Orlando, Florida. So I started working for SAC Comedy Lab, and eventually I tried to do stand-up comedy. And there was an actor at Disney, his name was Dwayne Chaffee. He was what they call a streetmosphere character at the park. So what that is, if you don't know, to your listeners, a long time ago, back in the day, when you went to Disney's Hollywood Studios, the theme was like, you know, Hollywood that never was. Well, they had actors that would portray these Hollywood stars and starlets. And he played one of the roles there at Disney, but he was also a stand-up comedian and we became friends. And he really encouraged me to do stand-up to the point where he had his own show and he wanted me to open for him. Unfortunately, I was too nervous, and he did the best thing ever. I had my jokes already. I was ready to go. And a couple of days before, I told him I was too nervous. I said, I can't do it. And he didn't force me into it. He said, Mark, I understand if you're too nervous. And if you're too nervous to do it, don't worry about it. And I didn't do it. And I was a little disappointed. But the fact that he was cool and he said, you know what, you'll know when you're ready. And it was the truth. I was excited at first. I would see him be successful, and I assumed that it's easy to do, and I'm going to do that same thing. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't. And I think that time, Dewey Chaffee gave me the out to say, you'll know when you're ready. He didn't say, oh, man, that's too bad. He just said, it's okay, Mark. I understand. You'll know when you're ready. And that gave me enough room to breathe. And eventually, I got confident enough to perform my stand-up. So to this day, I still think of Dewey Chaffee, and I thank him for giving me that space and also giving me something, because I was excited. I wrote all kind of material, but it wasn't ready. It wasn't ready. In my head it was, but it wasn't something that was ready for audience consumption.
That's awesome ability to support you like that. The force to force you on the stage right there, that might have been a train wreck. So he definitely saved you right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Mark, what's your favorite memory working for the Disney company?
Oh, wow. There's so many memories, and I always go, I'm going to pick one. And every time somebody asks me that,
okay,
I'll say it. My favorite memory, let me see. I have so many. There's happy, sad ones. There's excited ones. But I think my favorite memory ever is getting to walk around Disney's Animal Kingdom before it opened. I had a hard hat on. I was cast in a show called the Dinoland Grad Students, and I got to walk through Dinoland as every land was being worked on. There were people in hard hats, construction workers, crafters, Imagineers still looking, making sure the paint was right, the ground was not all the way done. I've seen themed lands not be ready and waiting to be open. But when I was walking through Disney's Animal Kingdom, I was like, you don't get to walk through a brand new theme park. And I wanted to savor that moment. And that was one of my favorite moments. And not only that, after it opened, we got to meet Joe Rohde. And Joe Rohde was the creative head of Imagineering, that portfolio executive that designed Disney's Animal Kingdom. And we were working in Dinoland USA. And Joe Rohde, who designed the theme park at Dinoland USA, gave us a tour of Dinoland USA. And he brought it to life like I've never seen before. This man was amazing. And of course, Imagineers, he was an amazing storyteller. So he walked us around and told us the idea and the secrets and everything. It was fantastic.
Mark, what's your favorite mistake as a new employee? I know it seems like a double negative there, but what's your favorite mistake when you were a new employee?
Wow, that's a great question. My favorite mistake as a new employee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. My favorite mistake as a new employee.
Hey, wait, did I just ask you a question you've never been asked?
Yeah, I've never been asked that question. Awesome. I love it because it's like, what is my favorite mistake as a new employee?
I want you to dig up some dirt on yourself. That's what I'm telling you. It's like self-admission here.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. My favorite mistake. I got to think about it. There's one, but I have to think of how to say it.
Okay. Do you want some time? Want me to go to the next question?
Let me come back to that. I love that question though. I like it. Like, what is your favorite mistake?
Okay.
Because I'm still working there. If I wasn't working there, it'd be easy.
We got to behave. All right. So give me a lesson you know now that you wish you knew 20 years ago.
Oh, great question. I've worked with a lot of performers. I've worked with a lot of managers, friends, acquaintances, everything. And what I know now, people like that were hard to work with, that I didn't get along with, what's going on, a lot of things, like people, maybe somebody I didn't really like working with or I didn't even like, I realize now that it's all insecurity. That comes from insecurity. And we all have it, and we all manifest it in different ways. And some people that I didn't like, I can see it now. I go, they were insecure. And so they manifested in a different way. So now, like, I look back and I go, I used to worry about what people thought about me. Now, I'm not saying don't worry what people think about you and just don't care. I'm not saying that, but you can. It's good. But know this, more people worry about what you think of them. Then, you know what I mean? And I was worried about what people think of me. Like, that drove me. And that created the insecurity I'm talking about.
Hmm.
And now I understand that it almost drives a lot of people. I won't say everyone, but a lot of people, especially when you're young. So now sometimes I see young people and I see it and I have a little bit more patience because I go, okay, what's making them do that? They're probably insecure. And if I'm in a position to try to help them with those insecurities, I'm going to try to do it. And it might change their attitude if I help them with the insecurity they may have, you know, in talking to them or seeing it sometimes and help them with it. You can see the attitude change. So what I know now is that all the stuff that even I was going through that made me hard to work with, that made me nervous and different things that made me not positive in those moments. Mm-hmm. They all stemmed from my insecurities of what people thought of me. And I could have been working on myself instead of worrying about that. So that's what I would say is that, you know,
okay.
Insecurities.
Mark, you hit a double right there, because my next follow-up question is going to be, what would you change about yourself? And I think that kind of parlays back to your other question about, you know, just working at not worrying about what people had thought about you. Mm-hmm. And what is that fair? Or what would you change about yourself right now?
What would I change about myself? What would I change? You know, as you get older, I read this somewhere. As you get older, you start to build walls around yourself and the walls you know. And you're comfortable. So the walls you build around yourself, you're comfortable with it. You know, I like a red and a yellow and a blue and a green. I like this one have diamonds on it and this one have marbles on it. But you're still, and you're creating a comfortable space. Mm-hmm. I would change that. I would say I'd be aware of building those walls and really trying to step out of my comfort zone. You know, when I was younger, especially when I did stand up and improv, I was so hungry. Now, sometimes I sit and I go, do I want to do that? I don't feel like it. And it's more, it's not an insecurity. It's more laziness, you know? So I would change the mental concept of building walls and always trying to create a safe space. Because sometimes the safe space you build around you is not the best house in the environment that you actually exist in, if that makes sense. You know, maybe all the houses are now changing yellow, but I built a blue house and I'm safe and I'm good. But you got to look outside and go, well, everybody's built a yellow house. Let me see. Maybe it should be yellow. How? What shade of yellow am I comfortable with? You know, so I think that's what I would change is always be aware of you may need to change things that you have been rooted in that you think this is me and I won't change this or I don't like this. Really and truly, be flexible. And I think as I get older, I tend to be less flexible.
Well, you know, that's good self-reflection because we all kind of fall back to our strengths, right?
Yeah.
So that really positions you with your strength. But, you know, it kind of goes back to like a phrase of like, stay hungry. And like, that's what I picked up from that statement right there. Though I appreciate that. What do you feel is your strength right now? What would you consider your, let's say a couple strengths?
Mm-hmm. I think my strength is something I got from my mom. And that's always looking at the positive side of things. Once I'm still breathing, I got a shot. I think that's my strength. I mean, you know, and the power of humor, I've seen it work. I remember one time, long story short, like I mentioned before, I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, right? So I have I'm a resident alien. So I went to Germany for a gig. And so I had to get a visa to go to Germany from Trinidad. So I got a visa, and lo and behold, I missed the flight. I really did. I missed the flight. My watch didn't change the time. You know how that goes. And I totally missed the flight. And so flying from Germany to back to the States, it's not like Delta flying from Florida to like Chicago or something where you just catch the next flight. The next flight wasn't for a while. And the flight was I didn't pay for the flight. It was a very expensive flight the company paid for. And then I missed the flight. So I had to kind of come up with the money. And there wasn't a flight for like a few days. And I was very nervous. And so I didn't want to pay for the flight. So I had to call the travel agency, and they were in France and all over the place. And I'm calling all day, every day I'm calling, trying to see if I can not pay the full price for this ticket. And I remember knowing that if my visa expires, which I still had time, but I was just so nervous. If my visa expired, I would get deported back to Trinidad.
Yeah.
So I was very stressed, you know, and my ex-wife was with me at the time. And we were very stressed. So I was so stressed out. We were just, Germany is beautiful and everybody walks everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember I was just the days, I'm just, instead of being nervous, I just ride bike and go to the park. And I'm really trying to take my mind off of things. Like I said, positivity. And I'm very nervous and I'm waiting every morning for the phone call. And I remember I finally got the call and the person was like, okay, we can change the ticket, this, that, and the other. So so we have one ticket or two tickets. You can always leave your wife there. And as a joke. And I just started laughing so hard. And I realized that I hadn't laughed in about 3 days.
Yeah.
And it broke the tension. And I remember telling the lady on the phone, I said, wow. I said, I was so stressed out, I forgot to laugh. And I felt the release of stress. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, I remember, and it reminded me of my LOL for life. And somebody gave it to me. I always say, I'm going to put it out there. But somebody actually gave it to me. And I really enjoyed it.
Did you tell your wife at the time that comment?
Yeah, absolutely. She didn't think it was funny as I did. But
I'd imagine so. All right. How about, let's go back. Let's circle back. Did you think of your favorite mistake as a new employee? Have you thought about it yet?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of my favorite mistake.
Okay, we can buy you some more time.
Yeah, buy me some more time. I have one, but I'm trying to see if I can construct it without giving away Disney magic. That's my challenge.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Chris?
I hear it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about I've seen Give Kids the World do some amazing things for kids. So let's talk about Give Kids the World and your fundraising efforts. Heck, I've seen you appear on as part of panels to help raise funds for that. Yeah. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Give Kids the World is one of my favorite charities here in Central Florida. I remember when I first started working at Disney, I loved doing face makeup and stuff. So I would volunteer and go paint faces at Give Kids the World. And I remember going there for the first time, and it was like a little Disney World. I had a giant mushroom and these castles and a giant carousel for the kids. And so I just went to volunteer. I didn't know exactly what they did. You know, it's a charity. It's for kids. So when I got there and I learned what they do, is they provide a week of vacation. The parents don't pay, and it's for terminally ill children. And because these families have to deal with so much, you know, whether the kids, depending on their disease, they're getting, chemotherapy and different things like that. That takes a lot out of anybody. And not only that, it takes a lot out of the families, you know. So Give Kids the World, again, LOL for life. They give the families a week of stress-free. Don't worry about it. And some of the things they do are really fun. Like, you know, they get to stay in these beautiful bungalows. The kid gets the master bedroom. They can eat ice cream for breakfast. They have all these attractions. And it doesn't matter. What's cool about it, too, is like each one of the attractions, whether it's a carousel or a swing or the pool, they're accessible to whatever, you know, disability you may have, you know. So this is a world where these kids can do things that kids can do. So I really love giving to that charity. I like donating my time. So I was able to donate my time as an MC and a host and raise awareness and money for Give Kids the World, one of my favorite charities here in Central Florida.
That's awesome. And you've currently got a fundraiser going right now. So when the show goes out, I want to make sure we share that fundraiser as well for you too. So we'll make sure everyone's aware of that. Mm-hmm. You got time for a few quick hitters. These are just quick, basic Disney questions, but it tells so much about people. So these will be just gut reactions here. So let's go with just some of your favorites.
I love these, by the way.
Your favorite park?
Disney's Animal Kingdom. And I think you know why. You heard my story before.
I know why now.
Now you know why now.
Your favorite attraction?
My favorite attraction is, come on now. You can't see. Your listeners can't see. But I'm actually wearing a shirt that says, Star Wars, Rise of the Resistance. Have you experienced that, Chris?
Heck yeah. Of course I have. But Mark, I saw you do some radio spots where you talk about Alpha Centauri and you talk about Avatar. So it's got to be up there, though, as far as one of your favorite, right?
It is. Yeah, you know, I had the honor of going on tour and doing TV and radio spots as Jonathan Freeman. And this character was designed by Chris Oyen, a show director here at Walt Disney World. His parents were from Earth, but they were patriots, so they went 500 light years away to Pandora, and I was born on Pandora. So I'm a human born on Pandora, and I had a job as a field expert. So I came back to Earth, and that was the opening for the attraction and the whole land. So I would tell people about each attraction, and it was so much fun to learn about the attraction. And I would communicate with the to educate people about how to connect with the Earth. And I was part of a company called Alpha Centauri Expeditions, ACE. So, yeah, you saw that. I would go around and do TV and radio spots. We had some chefs that would cook some of the foods from Pandora, and I would talk all about being able to sync up with a ikran and sync up with an avatar and then sync up with an ikran and experience Flight of Passage.
Mark, that must have been a really cool experience because you just like your role as a warm-up host, you just got to set that teaser just right. But the look of that land and the attractions themselves, it was like, that's easy. Let me just get you interested. Let me just turn the page on. And once you see it, you're like, oh yeah, you're going to go and see it. So I completely get that. What's your favorite movie? Doesn't have to be Disney.
Okay. Well, okay. Straight up. I mean, my favorite movie is 1987's Predator, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Gotcha.
Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura. Yep. My favorite sci-fi film is Predator.
Well, one of my buddies loves the movie as well, and I found him have you seen the motorcycle helmet that has the Predator? Have you seen that?
It's pretty sick.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right. How about your favorite Disney film then?
My favorite Disney film? My favorite Disney film classic is The Jungle Book. Hands down. I love The Jungle Book. I love the characters. And my favorite is Baloo. Like, I want to hang out with that Baloo from Jungle Book. Disney's Jungle Book. It's The Jungle Book. Disney's Jungle Book.
Would you say he's your favorite character, though? Because that's my next question. Your favorite character.
My favorite Disney-created character is Goofy. Yeah. Okay. I do love Baloo. I love Baloo. I want to hang with Baloo.
Okay. Right?
But my favorite other Disney character, I would say, hands down, is Baloo. I mean, sorry, Goofy.
Goofy. Gotcha.
Goofy is Disney's Chewbacca.
He doesn't care too much. He's got a crazy sense of humor. He's got a laissez-faire attitude, right? Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me, doesn't
and
it?
And he's a dad. Come on, man.
There you go. All right, so you and I are meeting, and we're going to go eat someplace on property.
Okay.
It doesn't got to be popular. It just got to be the place that you want to take somebody. So where's your favorite place to eat? Just me and you going to hang out.
We're hanging out. Check it out, Chris. We are going to Tiffin's at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Wow.
I'm going to Tiffin's. I'll tell you why. I love that restaurant. Tiffin's is a celebration of Disney's Animal Kingdom. Not only that, it's a unique restaurant because it's inspired and a tribute to the people, the creative visionaries behind Disney's Animal Kingdom. Each room represents a different part in the creation process of Disney's Animal Kingdom. And there's so much story in there. It's fun just to walk around and look around. You see different textures and paints and the inspiration for Harambe and Dinoland. And it's just wonderful. So, we go to Tiffin's at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Let me take you away with one last follow-up question, and it's not going to be what you expect. Okay. Your favorite quality in a person?
My favorite quality in a person, I think, and what I'm attracted to is it's the nurturing quality in a person, the ability to nurture someone, you know? That's what I found with my wife, Figgy, now. She's just so nurturing. It's just, my mom has it. It's that, and it's not a motherly nurturing. It's just that person is there for you, and they nurture you. They make you stronger. They, their love just makes you strong.
Okay.
And that's my quality. And you can see it in people. Like, the cool thing about that is you don't have to experience it from them. You can see it when they interact with the people they love and the people they nurture. And it's great to see, you know.
That's a wonderful answer.
Yeah, I think the nurturing aspect.
All right. Two last questions, and one we're going to circle back on one more time.
Circle back. I'm still struggling, man.
All right. Here's the big question is, have you ridden Tron yet? Have you been on Tron?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been on Tron.
Okay. I loved it. Liked it.
I liked it.
Liked it.
Okay. I like it. It's an amazing ride. I will say it's a beautiful ride. It's exciting. I had some issues getting off the ride. I actually got stuck on Tron.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
I think what it is like, now, let me preface this by saying, listen up, everyone. You can ride Tron. Tron has different ways to sit. There are some cars that have a more bench seat where you can sit like you're riding Splash Mountain, mm-hmm. and you can experience it and have the same amount of fun. So don't think you can't ride it. You can test it. They have the bikes out front to test to see if you can sit on the bike version of it, because it's very unique. You're sitting like you're sitting on a motorcycle. You know, they try to give you the full experience of, mm-hmm. of riding those Tron light cycles. But depending on the way I had to sit in it, I have long legs, and also big feet. So the way I had to sit in it, my feet were too big, and I kind of had to tuck it a certain way. And now I got in it comfortably. So know that I wasn't like, I can't fit, but I still rode it. No, I got on comfortably. I locked in. I was safe. I never felt worried. I never felt uncomfortable, anything like that. But there's a way you bend your knee like you're riding a motorcycle, and there's a harness kind of moves that you put your upper thigh and your shin is held by this harness that kind of moves. So that locks in when you're riding, and there's also a harness on your back that kind of holds you in place. But when I tried to get off, because my feet were so big,
okay.
and I tried to move my feet back out, the harness moved. So when I went to pull out, the harness would drop like I was still riding it. So my brother was there, and he had to actually pull me out of it because the way it was. So I had difficulty getting out of it because of the way the harness kept me on the ride. So I want to preface it by saying I was locked in. I was safe. I wasn't worried. I felt comfortable the whole time. It's just that the way how long my from my knee to my ankle and from my knee to my hip, the length of it made it a struggle for me to actually be able to pull myself out of the ride and my legs out of the ride. So next time I ride it, I'll probably sit in the seat.
I was going to say, right? After the first time, you'd change something a little bit for sure.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was fun. I love how you go outside and you go around. I love the there's so many things you don't realize. Like, you actually see more stuff when you watch somebody ride it. So if you haven't ridden it and you're going to ride it, experience what I like about the Q area is there are several times you can see the light cycles and you can see them go around. Watch all the effects and see it. So when you ride it, as you're screaming, you can like see it because it's a lot. There's a lot of beautiful lighting.
Well, and aesthetically, it's gorgeous. It is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. All right. Give me your favorite mistake. And the third time, I know you've been thinking about it. Give me your favorite mistake as a new employee. And this is, I'm purposely saying newer employee, so I can throw you back 20 years. So you're not going
to get Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You threw me back, man. I'm trying to remember.
Because everyone makes that mistake. Everyone does something goofy. Everyone can laugh about it now. That's what I figured we'd talk about.
So I started off as I started off in the character department. Okay. I'm going to tell this story and keep the magic alive. Okay. So I started off in the character department. So I played costume characters. And, I had to portray one of the characters from the Robin Hood, Disney's Robin Hood unit. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know where I was going. I was new. And I didn't know, because basically, so little insight, different areas of the park, especially back in the 90s, there were different areas of the park where you can meet your favorite Disney characters. Those characters, those areas are labeled Area 1, Area 2, Area 3, Area 4. Area 4 could be in Tomorrowland. Area 3 could be in Fantasyland. So you would go and they'd tell you, okay, this is where you're going to go, Area so-and-so. So I had to go to Area 1, which is at the front of the park, and I had no idea where that was. So people are telling me, this is where you go this way. I'm trying to figure out my way through the tunnel system. So as everyone knows, it's a tunnel system, which is like the subway system. And if you don't know, it's like you go to New York and you don't understand the trains, you got to read the map. So finally got to my area and I didn't know how to get out into the park because you're backstage as well. And there are many different doors and different things like that. So I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. Where do I go? Here I am. And they said, well, go through that door. So little did I know, there's a meet and greet where you can meet Pluto at the front of the park. And there are two doors there, and people go up and they meet Pluto, and it's a fun time. Now, only Pluto goes through that door.
Oh,
that's
no.
it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Pluto.
So me, as my character from the Robin Hood unit, I go and I see the door, and it's a nice little round door. It's still there to this day at the front of Magic Kingdom, over there by the restrooms, by guest relations. And I go through the door, and I get stuck. So I'm halfway in the door, and halfway backstage, and I'm stuck in the door. And I look, and I see Pluto, and I go, well, I'm not supposed to be here, because, you know, the characters have to stay in their units, you know, so it's like you're going to be Robin Hood and Little John, and, you know, Maid Marian and all those people. So I'm stuck and I can't move. So the coordinator comes over and it's like, you're not supposed to be here. And I'm like, oh, I'm just cool.
See this now.
Yeah. And I'm stuck. And they're like, you got to leave. And I can't. So they see, then they realize, because I can't talk, I'm just like wiggling around. And they go, okay, you're stuck. So I see Pluto, and Pluto, as the dog, starts laughing.
Oh, no. You know, I'm
like, okay. So lo and behold, they had to push me.
Oh, my God.
Back through the door. And even Pluto came to help. And they just basically pushed me back through the door. And the coordinator helped me get around to where I needed to be. So that was my fun mistake. And it was silly, and it was fun. And I can't imagine guests coming to see Pluto seeing a bear.
Shoving you backwards.
Yeah. Thank goodness there was no TikTok or Insta or YouTube or Instagram. There was just people took pictures and they had to go to their local drugstore and get it developed, and it stayed in a book on a shelf.
I'm sure somewhere someone's got a picture though, Mark. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you spent a lot of time with us today, and I appreciate that. But I want to give a chance because from the way literally that I just stumbled across your page, and I'm so glad I did. How can people find you and follow you and like hear your fun nerd fact of the day and whatnot? How can they get a hold of it?
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. You can find me. I have a YouTube channel, which is again, LOL, the number 4, Mark Daniel. So LOL for Mark Daniel is my handle. It's my handle on Twitter. It's my handle on Instagram. And it's my handle on TikTok. And so you can follow me there. And again, it's LOL for Mark Daniel. I have also have my page where you can learn more about my crowd warm-ups and my corporate events. And that's simply markdanielcomedy.com. And on my YouTube, you can go back and see some of my old stand-up on my YouTube channel. So those are the places to catch my content. And every Monday, it's called Monday Minute Wisdom from Dr. Tambourine. Then I do my fun Mark Daniel nerd facts for the day throughout the week. And then whatever comes in my head, whatever silliness to try to make you laugh, Chris, or I just threw it out there as well on my Instagram and on my Twitter. Yeah, and definitely I'm trying to raise. So if I can talk a little bit about the charity event I have coming up.
Mm-hmm, please.
It's called Over the Edge. And it's taking place here in Orlando, Florida. And I am trying to raise $1,000 so I can go over the edge for Give Kids the World. I sent you a link if it can be shared. But it's called Over the Edge, and you can Google it, Over the Edge for Give Kids the World and Mark Daniel. And I'm trying to raise $1,000. Any amount helps. All the proceeds go to Give Kids the World. Now, when I raise that $1,000, I will be able to rappel down the Hyatt Orlando here in Florida. 32 stories.
Man. Oh, man.
Yeah. And it's, I did it last year. I was able to raise money, the $1,000 and more, thanks to all the donors. So again, I'm at $72 right now, but I'm working with a team. So my money will go to the team's money together, and it's called Team High Five. So there's a few of us working together to raise money, but you can also just go to my page. And again, trying to raise that money, $1,000, so I can go over the edge. Any amount that you can give, $2, $5, $10 will help. And I did it last year, but it's very scary going over. It's 32 stories. And I remember when I had to go over, they had it's very safe, by the way. They teach you how to do it. And you're harnessed in, and you lower yourself down the side of the building. And so the top of the building was set up with a rig. And I had to go lean out. But because I'm tall, a shorter person could just turn around and lower themselves. But because I was tall, I actually had to stick my head out look over the building.
Oh, nice.
And reach my hands around and turn around. And they're waiting on me. And I'm like, wait a minute, y'all. Yeah. I got to stick my head over this building And I had no slack. Like, I was safe, but they didn't give me the slack yet. So you actually feel like nothing's holding you, and you're just going to lean over this building. So yeah, it took me a few minutes to work my nerve up to trust that there's slack. I just can't feel it.
Immediate regrets right there, I could imagine.
Yeah, like, definitely. Right? Like, yeah, this ain't designed for somebody 6'4 and a half. I quit.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I'll get back to one statement and then I'll let you go. In my opening statement, I said, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So, Mark, you know, in our listener group, in our Facebook group, in our show, we have a unique little offshoot of the Disney community. Mm-hmm. It's the most positive group I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And we support each other. We've got a accredited 501c3 we've created just to help families in need in our community. Mm-hmm. So with you saying stuff like that and talking to me today, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. So you can tell the people that are positive and moving things forward. So mm-hmm. I so appreciate that. And we will definitely share that out to our listeners in our community. So
thank you. And congratulations to you as well. You know, if you ever need me to get the word out for anything you're doing, don't hesitate to reach out.
I certainly appreciate that. So we hope we made you smile today. You know, Mark's been amazing and we've taken up a bunch of his time today, but we hope we made you smile, made you laugh, and give you a little education. And again, go to Instagram, go to LOL4MarkDaniel, and it's four, the number, not
number four. And no S on my last name. It's just Daniel, like the first name.
Daniel, exactly. All right, everybody. So we appreciate you listening today, and we want to wish you a great day.
Yes, and thank you so much, Chris, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all your listeners for listening to my story. And I hope I made you smile, like Chris said. And Chris, it took me entirely too long for me to get dub-dee-dub. It took me too long to understand what that was. And I get it.
Now you get it. Now you get it. Yes.